Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Thank you so much.
Bet like $1 million.
Shout out TMZ, you up?
Let me check out that rig.
TMZ stands for the Mayweather Zone.
How'd you find me, bro? I got my disguise on.
I love my TMZ family. My sports.
Welcome to TMZ Sports. I'm Mike Babcock. Ryan Garcia, Devin Haney, absolutely magic fight. Shocked the world, shocked most boxing fans, I think. This man right here, of course, the great Sean Porter, was working the fight for the zone. So he got as good a view of this thing as you possibly could. Sean, I don't even know what to say now, still days later. Talk to me about this fight. Give me your thoughts, man.
Just amazing, you know, how the whole outcome of the fight went, you know, the moments of seeing Devin Haney get floored, I think is probably the thing was the most shocking thing we saw in the fight. And the Ryan Garcia, who was well prepared, much more prepared than he allowed anyone to believe. And, you know, definitely a shocking moment. And that's why you love boxing. You know what's going to happen, but then sometimes you just didn't know that was going to happen.
Was it just a situation where it was a bad matchup stylistically for Devin?
No.
What happened then?
It's 50-50, man. They're 3-3 against each other in the amateurs. You know what I mean? And it was just one of those things where one kid, you know, both of them are blessed, but they're blessed in different ways. Devin is blessed he can do it all. Ryan can do it all. But there's one thing he's really specifically blessed with, and that's this left hook. He wings it. He whips it, and you can't catch the timing of it. You can't catch the rhythm of it. It's obviously very, very powerful. And the thing that most people don't understand, it's a hook. So it's like it leaves your vision, and then it comes back. And the way he whips it, it really leaves your vision and comes back. The jab is straight. This right here, it whips, and so it's long, and it's like I throw a big word at you. You can't catch the trajectory of it, and, you know, and when it catches you, we see the results.
And it's obviously, aside from the obvious in that Devin was on the canvas three times, it seemed like he was really having trouble with that, and he seemed hesitant to attack, Sean, and tell me if I'm wrong here, because he didn't want to be countered with that left hook.
Mm-hmm.
What could Devin have done, and if they were to rematch, what does he do differently the next time around?
I'm so glad that you say if they were to rematch. They are going to rematch. They better rematch. We need the rematch.
I hope so too.
The thing that he didn't do, so when you ask what could he have done, there's something that Devin has not really perfected or really made a part of his makeup as a fighter. Offense to defense. You know, if you're worried about a counter, what does that mean? That means you got to be just as fast defensively as you are offensively. You know, so he's hesitant because he knows that defense isn't there after the offense. So that's something that I think they'll work on in preparation for a rematch. And that adjustment kind of is all he needs because he's got everything else.
Sean, if you were Devin's advisor, would you suggest that he waits, or is this something, hey, let's get right back to it and let's get this rematch done?
Absolutely. If I was his advisor, I would literally call him and say, yo, you take all the time you need. You make sure you stay, keep only people that love you and care about you around you. Don't be on social media. Don't go out in the atmosphere with people who are going to look at you and mock you, anything like that. Go to some islands. Go hang out. Go see some waterfalls. If you can, get in a rocket and go out into outer space for a day. You know what I mean? Do everything you can to get away from this. Decompress. When you're ready, come back to me and we'll talk about it. And we're scheduling you for a rematch with Ryan Garcia at whatever weight you want that rematch at. and at whatever date you want that date to be.
Sean, a lot of people have talked about Bill Haney. Does Devin need to make any changes or think about making any changes? Or, I mean, let's be honest. He had 31 great fights with Bill Haney as his trainer. Does he need to think about making a change?
I don't think he needs to think about making a change. However, I do think that they need to add a little bit more to the program. I think that one thing is very apparent was that the defense is lagging. So you bring in someone who can help you with defense. You bring in someone who can help you with maybe some other things that you didn't have in this fight. But as for replacing Bill Haney, I never replaced my dad. I've seen other fighters replace their dad, to each his own. I know Devin Haney and I know Bill Haney. Devin Haney will never replace Bill, and Bill will never expect or want Devin to replace him. So that's something that we shouldn't even talk about.
Sean, is this just the best example of that styles make fights? Why did Tank have such success against Ryan? And obviously it was the complete opposite for Devin.
I'm going to keep this one short and sweet. I said this in the lead up to this fight with Devin Haney and Ryan Garcia. Ryan has seen, has tasted, has felt, the list goes on, everything that Devin is about. Psychologically, he'll be more connected and tuned into this fight than he was with the fight with Tank. Tank was just a whole lot.
Last one for you, Sean. If they rematch, can Devin beat Ryan?
Yes, Devin 100% can beat Ryan. Devin 100% has a humongous opportunity to beat Ryan in the rematch.
Sean, thank you so much.
We'll talk later.
I'll see you soon. Bye.
Thanks.
Coming up next in TMZ Sports, Sylvester Stallone is one of cinema's most legendary action heroes. And you don't get there without a little luck and a whole bunch of dedication. The true story of how Stallone fought through a devastating injury to film one of his most iconic movies.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of the hunt. But are you getting the thrill of the best deals? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Macy's, Adidas, and Walmart, and even stack sales on top of cash back. It's easy to use, and you get your cash back through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. So download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten. R-A-K-U-T-E-N.
TMZ presents.
As soon as I saw him, it was like, bang, two alphas hitting.
This is the beginning of a battle.
Schwarzenegger.
You killed 28 people in a movie. I killed 32.
Body count mattered.
Stallone.
We started something that I don't think exists anymore.
There's no two ways about that.
The epic rivalry that drove them to stardom.
You knew it was a bad script.
My agent said, you gotta give this to Sly.
He punked you.
And I'm stuck with that forever.
TMZ presents Arnold and Sly. Rivals, friends, icons. April 23rd on Fox.
Welcome back to TMZ Sports, Mike and Mojo. Mojo, I cannot wait. This is a show. We are airing it Tuesday night on Fox 9, 8 Central. You want to talk about two guys who are the epitome of action movie stars. It's Sylvester Stallone and Arnold Schwarzenegger. It's an entire conversation with these two guys. The friendship, the rivalry. It's amazing, amazing stuff. Now, Mojo, one of the topics that Harvey talked to both of these guys about, but specifically Sylvester Stallone, was about the Rocky franchise, specifically Rocky II. Late 70s, Mojo, this is a story that I had never heard before. Wait until you hear how close Rocky II was to not even happening. Here is Sylvester Stallone.
Franco Colombo, my training partner.
Right.
Was his trainer for Rambo.
This guy here, he was very eccentric. What do you say?
Yeah.
And we're working out. He goes, let's have a competition for bench press. I said, you won. He goes, no, come anyway. I said, oh man. So I go down and it's maybe only 200 and I'm just warming up. I hear, pow. I go, ah. And I fall on the floor and I'm going, ah. And then Franco goes, let me see. And he jams his fingers. I've torn my pec off the bone. I mean, bad. I could hear it go rip. And he's jamming his fingers in. And I'm, ah. and I think I'm going to black out. So I go home. I feel like my career is over. I'm supposed to start Rocky II, directed everything in a month and a half. And I said, you know, I got to have this thing sewn up. And I said, you know, and here's the difference. And he would have done the same thing. I can't use this arm. So I'll change it in Rocky. He'll fight right-handed, which is completely illogical. But I said, I'm not stopping this movie just for this. And this is a bad
injury. So you switched arms.
I switched arms. So in Rocky, that was one of the key things. But it's interesting the way these incredible journeys happen. But we don't stop. We don't quit.
It's amazing, Mojo. And obviously, Rocky II goes on to become this massive movie. 3, 4, 5, the spinoffs with Creed. And it's possible if Sylvester had made a different decision here and said, hey, I'm not right. Maybe the movie never even gets made. Maybe Sylvester Stallone isn't the guy that he ultimately ends up being. It's really an incredible story. And this special is filled with stories and tales like that.
Dude, oh my goodness. I'm so jealous of Harvey being
I know,
able to
so
sit
am
down
I.
And just, man, it should have been us, Babcock.
It should have been us.
Man, oh my goodness. First of all, this is awesome. These two going on this tour together and chatting about everything. This is so cool. I mean, what Arnold's last documentary, he really went deep into the rivalry with Sylvester Stallone, and it really gave you a whole new look. I mean, everyone knew they were very competitive, but I don't think everyone knew how closely this almost defined these two during this time and how this rivalry gave us the movies that we have today and just took their games to a level that neither of them could have gotten to individually. That's a whole different situation. But talking about this Thorne Peck, you're right, Babcock. There's been, what, 9 Rocky movies in total, if you include the Creed movies?
Yeah.
And this could have possibly ended after just number 1, which right. means Ivan Drago would not have existed. I don't know which one was the best one, 2 or 4. I think I lean a little bit more towards 4,
yeah.
personally. 2 is right there with it,
it's
though.
Close.
Those are absolutely the best 2 of the series, no questions asked. But that was such a pivotal scene in the movies, flipping the script. And now that you know why, I mean, this is just the cool things behind these movies that we all thought we knew everything about. And then you get a curveball like this,
right.
and the behind the scenes makes... Man, this is cool. I can't wait to see this.
I cannot either. Watching the movie, Mojo, you think it's just part of the plot. Rocky obviously had the eye injury and he wasn't able to see very well out of his right eye. So he then switches stances. And then to actually find out that, no, that was not part of the original script, but because of that bench press accident, which sounds horrifically painful. It's so interesting. Mojo, like we said, it's tomorrow, 9, 8 Central, Tuesday night on Fox. Mojo, today is the anniversary of one of, for my money, one of the most heroic men that I've ever heard about, Pat Tillman. Pat Tillman, of course, there he is in his United States military uniform. Mojo, you might have been more used to seeing Pat Tillman in his football uniform. If you want to know how incredible of a person Pat was, September 11th happens. He's a professional football player with the Arizona Cardinals, and he hangs up his helmet, Mojo, and he signs up for the military. And he goes overseas to Afghanistan, and tragically, exactly 20 years ago today, on April 22nd, 2004, Pat Tillman was tragically killed in a friendly fire incident. You want to talk about a guy who was making millions and millions of dollars, Mojo, who said, I'm going to go fight for my country. That's what Pat Tillman did, and obviously had a lot of other options and was living the dream out here as a professional athlete. But he said, no, I'm going to go fight for my country. Now, a guy who was arguably his best friend was Jake Plummer. Jake Plummer, the longtime star NFL quarterback. They didn't just play together with the Arizona Cardinals, which they did between 98 and 2001, but they also played together in college at Arizona State University from 94 to 96, Mojo. They were drafted into the NFL just 1 year apart. Obviously, again, they both went to the Cardinals. With the 20-year anniversary here, Mojo, we actually had an opportunity to talk to Jake Plummer. Clearly, Pat Tillman on the field didn't have an opportunity to put together a Hall of Fame resume because his career was cut so short. But with everything that he did and just representing the absolute best in a person and in an athlete and an NFL player that you ever could hope for, we asked Jake, should Pat be inducted into Canton? Should he be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame?
It's a really interesting question. Would Pat want to be in the Hall of Fame? And he would probably say, no, I wasn't even close to as good as Ronnie Lott, somebody, or Ed Reed, or these great safeties that are in there. But his impact on just life in general and people, if it was about impact, then hell yeah, he should be in there. And I heard a funny story, and someone showed me this. There's a wall on the Hall of Fame where they took all the trading cards of players that are in the Hall of Fame. And they put him out in a big mosaic. And someone snuck a Pat Tillman card into that mosaic. So Pat is in the Hall of Fame. It's just not, his bust is not in there. There's not a big thing set up. But he has a card in there. But this guy showed me this. And it was really cool to see, you know, somebody had a little thought out there. Said, I'm going to sneak a Pat Tillman card into this, you know, this whole deal and see if anybody catches me. So I don't really care if he's in the Hall of Fame or not. I don't think he would either. I don't know if his family does. His legacy is going to go on no matter what. And you know, for the ones that knew him when they played with him, that legacy is not so much about what he did to go sacrifice for our country. It's about his friendship, his ability to really care about the people that he loved. And that's what all of us will miss the most. Yet his influence outside of those people has been tremendous and will continue to live on.
My opinion on the matter, should Pat Tillman be in the Hall of Fame or not? Man, it does not matter one bit. Who cares? I couldn't agree more than Jake Plummer. I mean, this happened 20 years ago. His name is just synonymous with being an American hero. I mean, I think people more easily recognize Pat Tillman's name than a ton of Hall of Famers that went in at that time, guys that he played with that may or may not have been way, way better players. But who cares? What Pat Tillman did is completely unprecedented. I mean, leaving behind a life making that much money in the NFL, working your entire life towards one dream, finally achieving it, and then leaving it all behind to start over. This picture right there, that picture of him in uniform, is one of the most iconic pictures ever in American history, if you ask me. I mean, I got to go play for the Arizona Cardinals in 2010. I thought Pat Tillman was a big deal anywhere in the country, but in Arizona, it is a completely different situation. I mean, they have statues of this guy. He is still talked about to this day. I mean, people are so proud of what he did. And honestly, they should be. I mean, he's a hero in every sense of the word. Very tragic what happened to him, but it doesn't change the fact. I mean, he risked it all on the line and lost everything all for his country. I mean, you can't stop talking about this. I mean, it's unbelievable what he did.
The Kansas City Chiefs, of course, won the Super Bowl this year. Patrick Mahomes is living it up this offseason, getting some rest and relaxation in Cabo, where he is on vacation with his lovely wife, Brittany Mojo. I'll tell you what, though. If you wanted proof that the Cabo Raiders fans are absolutely insane, Mojo, look no further than the video we are about to show you. Because as Patrick and Brittany were trying to have a nice, relaxing dinner with one another on Thursday, again, at this fancy restaurant in Mexico, they ran into some Raiders fans, Mojo. And do you think the Raiders fans asked for a picture or an autograph? No, the Raiders and Chiefs are mortal enemies, and they trolled the superstar quarterback.
Hey, look at the Raiders.
Mojo, he's in a different country on vacation. And he's Patrick Mahomes.
If Patrick Mahomes throws for 600 yards each game against the Raiders this year, you now know why. This and Max Crosby, of course. Hey, this is great. I love it. I mean, this is fun, right? I'm sure it's obnoxious for him, right? He's like, I can't go anywhere. I mean, this doesn't probably come as a huge shock to him. He knows the star that he is, a very recognizable looking guy, and making the money he makes, playing the position he plays, the awards and honors he's received. He knows there aren't too many places on the planet that he could go. Right. I mean, Cabo. Of course, there's NFL fans in Cabo. Right. half the people there probably are from this country on vacation
right.
anyway.
Maybe so more. Probably more.
Yeah, maybe way more than that. So this is fun. And as far as Brittany Mahomes, I mean, usually, yeah, you know, you want to prevent this as it relates to unrelated spouses. Yeah. But I don't necessarily think Brittany is an unrelated spouse anymore, right? She is a big personality, and she has very much been in the limelight. She's yeah. out there having frequent meals with T. Swift. The
really?
Second. You have frequent meals with T. Swift. Now you're opened up for these kind right. of a thing.
So we've I'm even sure seen her mojo to. Fight with other fans, right? She is not shy. She will give it back. That's probably my biggest surprise. Not that Patrick kept it moving, but I'm surprised Brittany was able to control herself and that she didn't go off on those fans. That wouldn't have surprised me. If you got a reaction out of Patrick, I would have been a little surprised. But no, Brittany, she is feisty, Mojo.
This is him whispering under his breath right now. Stay calm. Leave it alone. Don't say anything. Let him be. Let him be.
All right, Mojo, we are just about out of time. I'm already looking forward to tomorrow's show because you are not going to believe what Pete Rose did or wrote about Shohei Ohtani. Shohei Ohtani, of course, is still going through that absolutely massive betting scandal, Mojo. Well, Pete Rose, the hit king, one of the greatest baseball players of all time, was at an autograph signing over the weekend in Minnesota. And boy, did he ever troll Ohtani. We're going to show you what he said. Not just that, Mojo. You are also tomorrow going to be joined by one of the greatest wrestlers of all time, the Hall of Famer, Booker T. I know you and Booker got a lot of things to talk about. There's a bunch of wrestling news going on. Booker's got a lot going on. Pete Rose, Booker T, a bunch more, Mojo. That's like, may as well be the definition.
Absolutely, Babcock. I think that's the perfect recipe to make tomorrow the best show since today.